This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always a pleasure to have you with us.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Greg. Thank you very much.
Just last week, you predicted with a pretty sizable amount of confidence that there would not be a government shutdown. What are you thinking now?
Well, I am believing right now that in the end, each side of Pennsylvania Avenue will go halfway and be able to forego the government being shut down. Now, preparations are made. I spoke today to Congressman Jeb Hensarling, the chairman of the House Republican Conference. He said that contingency plans are made, that we know who the essential and non-essential employees are, that our national defense will still function and our armed forces will still be paid. The question is how this would affect the international markets, what it would do to the economy, and what it would cost to shut down and then reopen the bulk of the government. That's going to raise some doubts about leadership on both sides. Now, the president has said that politics is thwarting the completion of a final budget. And he explained, when I saw him at the White House yesterday, that this means Republicans playing politics in the budget with abortion, with the Environmental Protection Agency. And once again, he mentioned the Head Start program that he's drawing a line in the sand on. So he blames politics. Republicans say that he is the one playing politics when they just want to cut tax dollars for Planned Parenthood, control of the EPA over greenhouse gases, and yes, make some serious cuts in Head Start, which Barack Obama's own HHS department faults for performance, and his own General Accountability Office faults on management in a very big way. That's the thing that people have to overcome, and I do believe they will reach an agreement on that. It may be between $73 billion and $100 billion, which is the figure most of the Tea Partiers want cut, and in fact, most of the freshman House members want cut, the freshmen on the Republican side. We'll know in a couple of days, won't we?
So you think not only will a deal be done, but it'll be one that's relatively palatable to the more conservative wing of the party?
Yes, I do. And I also believe that the president knows this is not 1995 and he's not Bill Clinton. President Clinton was able to gain considerable political capital by making it appear it was as though it was the Republicans' fault. Republicans caved finally. He got much of what he wanted and indeed had the momentum in his relations with the Republican-run Congress for the rest of his time in office. Today, people are less upset about the possibility of a government shutdown. Polls increasingly show voters want more cuts in federal spending, and I have a funny feeling Barack Obama would not be hurt that much if he went along with an agreement. Others know it on the Republican side. They must know it at the Obama White House.
John, let's move on to the long-term fiscal future now. And Paul Ryan, the Budget Committee chairman, big fan, or the conservatives usually, I think, quite highly of him. Much-awaited long-term budget proposal, planning to slash about $6.2 trillion off the president's 10-year projections, about $4 trillion off the existing spending rates, also planning major reforms of Medicare and Medicaid. A lot of people saying this is wishful thinking, given how much fighting there's going on over either $30 or $60 or $70 billion over the rest of this fiscal year. But what's your general sense of the viability of his plan and the contents of his plan?
Well, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said yesterday that the administration respects Congressman Ryan for putting forth a plan like this because he was addressing the long-term problem with long-term solutions. That said, Mr. Carney quickly said they reject the way he is dealing with the long-term problems. And once again, they wave the old scarecrow of Republicans favoring the rich over the poor, and that it's the poor who would lose their benefits under the Ryan reform of Medicare. For my part, let me just reflect on the fact that 32 years ago, when I came to Washington as a young reporter, it was said that whenever you use the words Social Security or Medicare in a political speech, you might as well sit down that evening and write your concession statement. anything perceived as a threat to the two sacred cows, the two most precious entitlements, was taboo. All of that has changed. Politicians now freely touch the so-called third rail, and we know that Medicaid is the premier cause of the red ink that state governors are wallowing in. Something has to be done, and Ryan's call for reform, as draconian as it may sound to some, is the voice of reason to others.
John, let's move on to politics a little bit here. The Virginia Senate race, we know there will be a new senator. Republicans largely in the Old Dominion state hope it's the former senator, George Allen. But he's going to have a pretty formidable Democrat in Tim Kaine, the former Virginia governor, and now just about to be former DNC chairman, being convinced to get in the race by President Obama and others. Which side has the edge in a state that over the last couple of election cycles has looked pretty good for the GOP, but obviously Kaine has been very successful statewide in the past?
Well, where do we start on this? George Allen is trying a comeback. Human Events interviewed him. He was fine. On the other hand, we know that Jamie Radke, a leader of the state Tea Party movement, is running against him with the backing of many grassroots conservatives. And George Allen may be the nominee, but he's going to have to work for it. Tim Kaine, on the other hand, looks like the Democratic nominee in the Old Dominion. One could almost hear the collective sighs among Democrats all throughout the state. They were relieved he was running. I'm going to take the coward's way out today, Greg. You have two former governors in a Kaine-Allen race. Their records will be contrasted. And my answer is, it's anyone's game.
John, we'll have to leave it there for this week. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
As I head to Pennsylvania and prepare to cover politics in the Keystone State and wonder what will I come back to on Monday, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.